I have a question for you. Would you invest 2 hours of your time to learn how to predict your future for the rest of your life? I know this sounds impossible, but I guarantee it's true. Just read the first couple of chapters of my book, The Cards of Your Destiny, and you will have the power to know what is coming well before it actually happens. This is the most accurate form of divination ever discovered, and it's easy to learn. Anybody can use it. And I guarantee that you will be delighted or your money back. Just go to 7thunders.com and order the book. Or get our product special that includes both my books and a special report prepared just for you. That is the number 7 and the word thunders.com. Why wait? Find out what the cards of your destiny have to say about your future today.
Good evening, everybody, wherever you're listening from tonight. I hope you're having a pleasant evening or perhaps even late night by now. Hope you had a good day, too. I wonder what day of the week this is for you. If you know what day of the week you're born, you could know what planet rules today, Monday, for you. Because the day of the week you were born would be your personal Mercury day. And this is a day when you have a lot of communications, phone calls, maybe short trips in the car. Nothing really big happens on Mercury day, just a lot of small stuff. The Venus day of the week is usually focused on either buying yourself something nice that you like, or things around the home, or perhaps things regarding love and romance. The Mars day is a day of activity, of aggression, of competition and activity. That's the third day after the day you were born. And then Jupiter is the fourth day, and Jupiter is usually the day when good things happen, financially good things happen. It's good to start things on your Jupiter day, especially financial things. To start things or make phone calls, make deals, make connections with people on your Jupiter day of the week, because Jupiter rules the sign of Sagittarius, and it's a blessing, one of the blessing planets. The next day would be your Saturn day. This is a day you find yourself the dentist or the doctors. Usually you have to work kind of hard that day. It's not as hard as a Saturn 52-day period of the year, but Saturn days are, you know, they can be rough. I find that on my Saturn day, I just usually have to work a lot. And if I do that, everything's fine. It's cool. But I end up going to the dentist more often on my Saturn day than any other day of the week. And Saturn does rule bones and teeth, so it's very interesting. And then after that will be your Uranus day. And Uranus is a day that things will happen unpredictably. And it's really interesting. Good things will happen unexpectedly if you're not attached to things. But if you're really attached to something, it will reverse on you on your Uranus day. I remember I used to play in a pool league, billiards. We met every week on my Uranus day. And every time I got really attached to a game, and I was always pretty much attached to winning, the game would have a sudden reversal at the end that would just totally pull the rug out from under me. I says, oh, this is too much. I can't take this anymore. So I joined a different league. Then finally, it's the Neptune day, the seventh day, the day before the day you were born. And this is a great day just to kind of, you know, take off, go to a movie, dream, relax. But don't make any important decisions. It's a day when you're just kind of dreaming about the future but not making any definite plans. It's a good day. Okay? So I hope this today for you has been a good day. And today is a good day for Paul McCartney because today is his birthday. And Paul McCartney is today officially a senior citizen. He has turned 65 years of age today. This is also the birthday of Isabella Rossellini and Roger Ebert. Now, I always get mixed up. Which one passed away? Was it Ebert or Siskel? I guess it was Siskel. So Ebert's still around, though I heard he hasn't been around a lot lately, so maybe he's having health problems. Today is a Queen of Clubs day and a Ten of Spades day. People born on this birthday have a double whammy of Queen energy, and I can't really explain why, but so there's a lot of pride in this birthday. There's a lot of dignity in people born on this birthday. Queen of Clubs people in general don't have good marriage karma. They tend to not be able to make commitments for very long. But this particular birthday, the Gemini Queen of Clubs, does have good marriage karma. As you know, Paul McCartney was married for quite a long time, which is contrary to most Queen of Clubs. And that's because of the ruling card, which is the Ten of Spades. The Ten of Spades is a super worker card, very ambitious, but it's also very strongly family-oriented, the Ten of Spades card. People who have Ten of Spades as a birth card or ruling card are always somewhat torn between their family and their careers. Usually they can do one or the other at one time, but have a hard time doing them together. But as you recall, when Paul McCartney was married to his first wife, they actually played and worked together. So that was a good fit for those two, being like that. His second marriage, of course, didn't have as much success. And that's a whole other story. We're not going to get into that. So let's move ahead. Tonight's talk, I've decided to do a talk tonight about survival. Survival in this new 21st century that we're in today, when things are really changing very fast. After the talk, we'll be opening up the lines. We have three open lines right now, so if I were you, I'd wait about, if you want to get in and ask a question, please call in about 10-15 minutes. There's three lines open. You can be the first. If you don't mind holding, you can call now, but it's nice if you don't want to wait on the phone too long. Just wait a few minutes. I'll keep you abreast of how many open lines. This show, by the way, is for you, whoever you are listening tonight. So take advantage of me. Take advantage of this show. I'm happy here to give you some answers, to do what I can to help you with whatever situations you're facing. All I need is your birthday. You have questions, and I have answers. So welcome to the show. So now, looking at this 21st century, oh my goodness, is it just me, or does it seem like things are getting more intense year by year? I think about people that are in their late teens and early 20s, young people, who they were sort of born into this, but they don't know, they don't really realize it like 20 years before they were born, that things were a lot different here. And I guess that was true of people that were born when I was born, too. We probably didn't realize how things were 20 years before us. For example, the Great Depression had happened around that time, and that must have been a really intense, terrific thing to go to. But when I look at the world today, I see that there are so many things happening that would make us feel like something bad could happen at any moment. I just want to talk about this a little bit, and then talk about my formula for success, this formula that will get us through any period of life, any time in history. And this one may be one of the worst, or maybe not. It seems like it gets worse and worse. Maybe that's just an illusion. Who knows? But let's just talk about it a little bit. First of all, we have many, many global type catastrophes waiting to happen. I remember I went through a period where I was watching a lot of the Science Channel and the Discovery Channel for about a year. This was just a few months ago when I sort of like eased off of it. But there would be a show about how there's going to be this massive earthquake under Yellowstone National Park. It's going to blow up and blow up half of the United States. Then there's a show about tidal waves, how there's a likelihood of a tsunami in all different areas and through the earth changes underneath. And then there's the earthquake, the big earthquake that could have half of California fall into the ocean or all of it fall into the ocean. And now we've got asteroids that could hit us from out of space. One of these could come along any time now. There's solar radiation and what's going on. There's a hole in the ozone layer and all this. And now there's global warming. And there's so many more I'm probably not even mentioning. There's pollution. There is overpopulation. This is the most, this, as far as we know, this is the most populated the world has ever been. If you imagine that only 5,000 years ago, there were probably less than 5 million people alive on the Earth. 5 million. It's gone from 5 million to over 6 billion. So we're talking about a thousandfold increase in population in the course of 5,000 years. But it's not, it's kind of growing and growing faster and faster now because of, what was it? I don't know. It seems like it wasn't that long ago that it was only 2 billion people on the planet. I don't know the exact date. But everybody, there's more of us, and there's the same amount of land and the same amount of water and the same amount of space and the same amount of resources. So there's this pressure that's building up just from the fact that there are so many of us on the planet. And I think really that has a lot to do with a lot of the problems that we're seeing today. Just the fact that we're so many of us, and we're encroaching on each other, and we're encroaching on animals in the wild, and we're taking over because we want to survive, and we're the dominant species, and we should survive. And animals have to be secondary to that. We're not going to give up our life to save an animal. But the fact of the matter is it has repercussions. Everything has repercussions. And we're all feeling this. So we're looming on things like food shortages and the like. And then on top of that, we have a lot of unrest between countries. This is enough to make us feel a little worried. Now more countries than ever have the atomic bomb. New countries are getting them all the time. We don't even know who all has them. There could be a lot of countries that don't care for us might have one or care for each other. A bomb could go off. World tension is running very high. We could see wars. Wars are happening right now, and other wars could break out. You know, and it has become unsafe for Americans to travel to most foreign countries, maybe outside of Europe now. If you've traveled at all to foreign countries lately, you might have noticed that overall, they don't think too highly of us as Americans. You know, we used to be respected. Everybody still wants to have our lifestyle to a certain degree, but they don't have a lot of respect for our country because of the way we've handled things, especially in the last 10 years. A lot of it is due to the way we meddle with other countries internationally. But in particular, lately, it's our war. It's the war that's developed between us and the Muslims as we have taken favor on the side of Israel. And this may not have been our intention. We may not have really planned this. Or maybe we did. I don't really know. But I tell you, there's Muslims all over the planet, and their religion is about killing people if they're doing the wrong thing. So we can't really be safe as Americans almost anywhere in the world today. I don't care where you travel. Something can happen. Then here at home, we have rising costs of gasoline, food, and the gasoline is causing all the prices to go up. We currently have droughts. I don't know if you know, but there's a serious drought here in the U.S. right now, almost over the entire country. There's floods in some areas, but most of the country is experiencing droughts. This lack of rain is causing things like water rationing, and they're saying now that droughts are going to become the norm in some areas instead of something that happens occasionally. And these could threaten our food supply. So we're aware of all this stuff. Then we have disease and health concerns. The popular American diet, the one that's, you know, on TV and everything, the restaurants and the advertising and stuff, this diet is lethal, and people die every day from eating. They die from eating food that will kill you. And a lot of the popular food, like that movie that was on Super Size Me, showed this food will kill you. If we're not discriminating, it'll kill us. In the interest of making money, food companies use anything. They use additives. They give hormones to the cows and chicken, which in turn will give you cancer. Then there are pesticides, preservatives, additives, all of them ultimately poisonous. There's the drugs that we take for illnesses that are recommended by doctors, which all have side effects, and nobody really knows what they really do. They might alleviate one condition, but it's the number one cause. Drug-related, and I'm not talking about illegal drugs, I'm talking about drugs prescribed, is the number one cause of death in this country. So there's a zillion ways we can die just by eating the food that's presented to us and going to the doctor. And this doesn't even mention things like bird flu, AIDS, viruses, diseases, of all myriad descriptions. Is there any wonder that people feel a little pressured these days? And let's not forget the people that just go mad all of a sudden, decide to go out and kill. A lot of people with automatic weapons just get frustrated, keep it a secret, let it build up, and go let it out. That could happen anywhere, almost. This is the world that we live in now, a place where disaster seems waiting to happen, where one must be very careful on many levels. So it's kind of like walking through a minefield. You have to be careful. Where are you going to live? All this stuff. All these stresses are ever-present in today's world, and it seems that the intensity of the possible catastrophes just grows year after year. So is there any wonder that things seem to be magnified more? What happens is, you know, all of us, we have to be feeling, because of all this stuff, it challenges us because we are now faced with more potential things happen that we don't want to happen. So we would naturally become more fearful. Now, we're already fear-based anyway. Most of us are already fear-based. Our country in particular is very greed-driven. If you examine the government and all the businesses and their decisions, insurance companies and the like, it's all driven by money. So, and greed is basically a fear of not having enough. So here we have like all the people, most of the people in power being driven by fear and desire for power. And then we have a world that's becoming more fearful. So here we are, we're all sitting in place, and we're all sort of, it's somehow all working, but the fear is building up. And in some people, it just bursts open. So what happens when you take a person who's already driven by fear, and you add a lot of fear to them, and they will go into survival instinct. When they do, it becomes survival. Survival of the fittest. So, like, if there was, like, say, a real disaster, like, let's just imagine that the global warming causes Florida to flood, okay? And there's no Florida left. Everybody's coming north. They want land, and they got guns. What do you think is going to happen? It wouldn't take a whole lot to really set off our delicate balance that we have now. And, you know, it would only take one of these big earth changes that I've been talking about, like an earthquake, an asteroid. It only take one at the right time and the right place to really throw everything off. What if there was a food shortage? You know, people, all of us are guilty of this. We would do anything to protect ourselves and our family. It would be natural. So now what is the answer to all this? Like, how can we... What are we to do in this day and age? How are we to live, and not just live a regular life, but live a happy, fulfilling life in the face of so many constant threats that seem to be coming out of small directions? And how will we know where to be when Florida and most of the coastlands are flooded following continued global warming? How will you know that ahead of time? I mean, how will you be in the right place at the right time? How will we know where to live to avoid tremendous earth changes, earthquake, things falling into the ocean, tsunamis and things like that? I think we think about this more. I know that I do. The question crosses my mind, and people will talk about this. Say, you're moving to California? Why would you move to California? California has earthquakes. You know, a lot of people will move here because they know the earthquake, and they've heard that the earthquake, the big one's coming someday. The San Andreas Fault is going to give. And there's going to be a tremendous shock wave. It could be bigger than we expect. So a lot of people are like, you know, I wouldn't move in California. So, but how will we know? As smart as we are, we may not be able to figure this one out. We may not be able to deduce it or arrive at it through the logic of our mind. I believe the real answer is the same answer that has always been true throughout history, that we must live our life from the highest perspective possible and continue to live a life where we're growing in awareness of ourselves. In truth, we are all connected both to each other and to the entire planet. There, on some level, we are intimately connected with this Earth. She is our mother, but there's a connection within us that we can tap into if we were able to look inside. Though things appear to happen out of the blue in our lives and in the lives of the world, inwardly there's always a part of us that knows. There's a knowing. We know what we can feel. We understand on some deep level why things are happening. and what is happening. It's just that most of us today do not pay much attention to the inner parts of ourselves. We're so focused outwardly. Everything in our society, all the media says, hey, buy this. Don't look inside. Go out. Your problems are that you don't have the right car. Your problems are that you're not dating a movie star or a playgirl or Playboy pinup or whatever. The whole society would have us focusing on the external all the time. And here we are making a living, accumulating stuff, experiencing pleasure. How much time do we spend looking inside, checking in? If a person could really stay well connected, he or she would always know where to be, always know when to act and what to do. It's really as simple as that. It's about being connected. To be in touch with ourselves is to be in touch with the universe. We are. We're connected, like I said before. We're all connected to it. As atrocious as everything seems to be today, there's a place where consciousness and love flows through it, all the way through it. And if we stand in the right place, we can perceive everything that is happening as an act of love from the Creator. God hasn't died. God loves us. Everything happens by His wish. It must all be beautiful from some perspective if we could only see that. We can each do our best to live our life in self-awareness and also to live our lives as much as possible in truth and love. This is all anybody can do. If you listen to some of my previous talks, you've heard me say that if we live a truthful, loving life, we have no fear of bad karma or bad events overtaking us out of the blue. Because if we're in that state of mind, we know how and why we're attracting things into our lives. We no longer fear the future because we're consciously creating it. The more we step into godness, the more goodness we experience. And we will have the ultimate realization someday, if we continue on this path, that we are the masters of our destiny. Our future is being created now. And we know what our future will be because we know what we're doing and being today. That's the real power. Imagine having no fear about the future or where you're going to live because you're actually watching yourself create your own destiny. That's what's available to us as spiritual beings, beings looking within for our answers and not without. You and I can choose to be afraid, and even more afraid as tensions mount in the world around us on a daily basis. Or we can turn our attention inside and find out what is real and what is not, and what is not in the world. I used to have an issue. I remember used to get kind of pissed off about the TV series The X-Files. Why would that show make me mad? Because their big motto was the truth is out there, and I thought, what a terrible thing to tell people. The truth isn't out there; it's always inside. And that's what we all believe. That's what the society believes. The truth is out there. It's out. It's in that new car that you don't have. This is what, though, all enlightened masters have taught. They've always taught the same thing in different words, perhaps, but the message has always been the same. We must go within for our answers. And when we do, we rise above the concerns of the world. When we're outwardly focused, we have no choice but to live in fear. Since we're connecting ourselves to the things that are transitory and constantly changing, the only thing that is unchanging is our connection to the divine. And this connection can only be experienced by turning our attention inward. So this is my advice. Live a good life. Be truthful to yourself above all else. Even if you lie to other people, at least know the truth for yourself. Get to know yourself so that you can see how you keep creating your world the way it is. Keep looking inside. Keep asking yourself, why would I create this world, the world I'm living, to be like this? If you keep asking, you'll get answers. Aspire to a higher standard of living. Aspire to be honest, patient, compassionate, and to give to other people. If anyone practices these things, the troubles of the world will be like water on the back of a duck. They will just slide off, and you will never get wet. And that's really all there is to it. So that's the end of my talk, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to we have two lines open right now. Line one, two is taken. But the other two lines are open. We're going to have a short commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Erin, if she's still on the phone. Erin from Chicago. So call in now, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're having a pleasant evening again. We happen to have Erin on line two, and two lines are open, folks. So if you want to call in tonight, this is the time to call. I'm ready to take your call. So, Erin, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you, Erin?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm glad I got in.
It was easy.
It was. It was my first time listening, so I decided to jump right in and call.
Well, that's wonderful. Nice to have you. So do you have a question for me that I can help you with? Is there a question I can help you with, Erin?
There is. I'm a six of diamonds, and I guess I have two. I have somewhat of a two-part question. Number one, I seem to have a lot of ace of spades influence in my life. One in particular, that's one of my questions. And number two is any advice on career.
So are you saying that you run into a lot of ace of spades people? Is that what you mean?
I've run into a lot of ace of spades people, and I've had relationship difficulties with ace of spades.
Yeah, okay. So it's been like a little pattern, but how many people really have you been with that are ace of spades?
Well, romantically?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just one. But it's on and off.
Yeah. Well, what birthday is this particular person?
It is March 9th, 1976.
Okay, so he's a Pisces, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That tells me the ruling card, and that's important to know, like what the planetary ruling card is with a person. That tells me more about him and about your connections with him. Well, you know, honestly, you don't really have what I would consider to be strong connections with Ace of Spades, believe it or not. I mean, there are connections. Every two cards have connections. I tend to think that for you, this is about some lesson that you need to learn with this person.
I think you're right.
Tell me a little bit about what happens in the relationship. Like, what's the pattern?
Well, when we met, it was sort of like we knew each other before. But actually, I listened to your first show that was recorded actually tonight, right before this show, and it was talking about the mama's boys and daddy's girls. And
yeah.
I think that kind of sums up the situation between us. I'm kind of a control freak. And sometimes maybe he feels like I control him, and then he rebels and kind of like almost acts like a little kid and like misbehaves or something.
To get your attention maybe, or?
I don't know. No,
or just
I don't
to
think
rebel
so.
Against
I think it's
you.
Out of defiance.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, yeah, maybe he wants to just declare his independence from you in that way. That's possible. One thing that you and he have in common, and it's not because your cards are close together, but you just both happen to have this particular issue, is that both of you are very afraid of being hurt in relationship. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you're an Aries. You're normally a very fearless person.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But in relationship, the Six of Diamonds, they have, it's because of the life spread of the card, they have the Ace of Hearts and Saturn in their life spread. And the Ace of Hearts and Saturn means that there is a loneliness inside of you that's very difficult to address. Do you relate to that at all?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe,
a difficult time,
you know, you're
on a
fairly young,
level.
You're only 26 years old. So you may not have really gotten deeply in touch with this yet. I mean, this is typically the kind of thing that people discover like in their 30s. You know, but you might be very spiritual. You might have a little head start on it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So the Six of Diamonds would have a fear of betrayal or abandonment, and so does the Ace of Spades. So does the Ace of Spades. Now, you know, maybe you'll try to control. Everybody does a different thing, you know. Some people, when they feel uncomfortable, they will leave and just run away.
That's
other people will try to control and dominate the other person. Other people will get mad and fight with their partner when they're afraid. I have the same thing. I have the fear of abandonment, and my thing was always to get mad and fight and
That's
blame
nice,
my
thank
partner
you.
For how, you know, the feeling. That was the way I handled it until I became more aware of it. So, you know, Pisces tend to be, they tend to, like, take, they tend to go at it, like, sort of surreptitiously, you know. They sort of disappear. It's called passive-aggressive.
Yes, 100% passive-aggressive.
Yeah, they're like, they'll just play keep away or take away or go away, you know, with you.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you I'm sure that what's underneath it is his fear of being abandoned. I mean, have you guys ever thought about getting counseling together?
We have, and when I heard the show tonight about the couple that wrote the book and they have the counseling session, I actually had messaged him because we're on, you know, a break, but that's nothing new. I said you have to listen to this radio show. It sounds just like us. It's something we talked about because there's also, like, it'll separate, but then we'll, like, get back together and forget. Like, nothing's wrong.
I mean, it sounds like you guys are perfect mirrors of each other in a way, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
So it would be really powerful. I think it would be really fantastic if you guys were to get some couples counseling together. Because it could make a world of difference. Like, you both could have some significant breakthroughs about yourself and about relationships. And, you know, this relationship may or may not last, but if you made it into something beautiful, you'd never forget it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You'd look back on it and say, wow, that was a great relationship because we did something good with it, kind of a thing.
That's what
so
I
that
feel. I feel
suggestion.
Like you keep coming back for more, like to learn or something.
You know, you're sitting in a special spot this year. You're displacing the Seven of Hearts, which is in your yearly spread, which happens to be his first karma card. So it's like you're in his neighborhood this year. Okay?
Okay.
And you were in his neighborhood, let's see here. I think, yeah, hang on, let's see. You were in
his neighborhood. He was my displacement card last year.
You were there last year too. So you're still in. You have a 2-year thing with him. Okay. And this is the year when you really have to.
And then I think that I'm one of his environment cards this year, actually, or something.
Yeah, that's possibly true. It looks to me like the challenge is more on you than on him.
Robert.
Right now. Yes, can you hear me? Hello?
Robert?
Yeah, there you are. I lost you there for a minute. Can you hear me?
Diane?
Hello? I think I lost her, or she can't hear me or something. Oh, well, that's how technology goes these days. So I think she might have hung up, but if she's still around, we'll talk some more. But I'll just finish what I was saying for her benefit anyway. She might hear this. When you displace the Seven of Hearts card, besides the fact that, you know, that's close to him, it's a card of facing.
Hi.
Hello?
No, I'm not hearing you, Robert.
Hello?
Oh. I hear you.
Well, that's how technology goes these days. So I think she might have hung up, but if she's still around, we'll talk some more. But I'll just finish what I was saying for her benefit anyway. She might hear this.
But you
displace the Seven of Hearts card.
So she's listening to the radio right now, and she's got a bad phone connection. So I'm going to keep talking. When you displace the Seven of Hearts card, you have to face your fears of abandonment usually during that year. That's usually the theme of that year. But I wanted to let her also know that next year, when she's 27, is going to be a spectacular year because she moves to the displacing of the Eight of Hearts. And the Eight of Hearts displacement is one of the most fun years that you can have. It has a lot of reasons for that, but it's a year of a lot of success, a lot of popularity, and a lot of fun. That's going to be when you turn 27, Aaron, if you're still listening. Okay? So we have now three lines open, folks, and if you want to call in, now's the time. We're going to take a commercial break and come back, and if we don't have any callers, we're going to be ending up our show, but I'd love to talk to you, so please call in now, and hope you're having a good evening no matter what. So we'll have a short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
For centuries, the information was kept hidden from society. Preserved by a secret order, instructed never to reveal this esoteric knowledge until the world was ready, until a time when this information could do the most good to benefit mankind. And now this information has finally been revealed, the fabled Book of Destiny, with information about every aspect of your life. And now you can make use of this information for your highest good. You can discover just why you are here and where you are going. Who are you most compatible with? When will you move? When will you change jobs, find love, and get married, and make the most money? All of this information and more is now available to you in two books, The Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards by Robert Lee Kemp. These books are available in any bookstore, physical or virtual. But if you order them from SevenThunders.com, you will also receive a special report entitled, When Will You Become a Millionaire? This special report will tell you the times in your life when you are the most likely to experience massive financial success. To get both books, which teach you how to do these readings for yourself, step by step, plus this one-of-a-kind report at a special discounted rate, just point your web browser to SevenThunders.com. That's the number 7 and the word thunders.com. Look for the link talking about the radio show special. And within days of ordering, you will receive everything you need to do readings for yourself and others. Your satisfaction is always guaranteed for your money back. And now, back to our show.
Okay, I'm back after a short break, and we do have a caller who's called in. Somebody has the courage tonight, the courage, and it has to be a Leo. We have Tara on line two. Are you still there, Tara?
Yes. Hi, Robert. How are you?
Good. How are you? Do I know you by any chance?
I emailed you about, I was going to ask you a question about environment cards and displacement cards.
Oh, did you? Was that today?
Yeah, I emailed you yesterday, and then I'm like,
right.
I don't think I can call you, but now I can now, so.
Okay, yeah, I remember that. I remember your birthday. I remember Leo, Seven of Diamonds.
Yes.
So what's up? What can I tell you about tonight?
I was wondering, because I got your books. They're great. It's, like, scary accurate, all this stuff. It really amazes me, and I was looking, and I was trying to find out why the Seven of Diamonds and some other cards didn't have an environment card and displacement card, and then you said that you didn't want to get into it in the book because I guess it was too complicated or something.
Well,
so that's what I'm calling
that. Yeah, it's like an advanced topic. I can kind of give you a brief description here. It's easier to do verbally than writing it all out in an email.
Okay.
And honestly, to really explain it to you, I'd have to show you where the yearly spreads come from.
Okay.
They come from a process called quadration, where a deck of cards is cut specifically, laid in specific piles. And basically, there are 90 of these yearly spreads, and they're called grand solar spreads because all 52 cards are laid out in a specific array. So what happens is that every year, the cards basically transform from one spread to the next. And in that year, everyone represents 1 year of life. But there are certain cards. Most cards move all over the place, okay? But there are seven cards that do not move in the same way. And you're one of those cards. Seven of Diamonds is one of those cards. As a matter of fact, all you do is move from one spot in the whole spread to another.
Wow.
And that's why we call you a semi-fixed card. Because you do move, but you only move from the Seven of Diamonds spot to the Nine of Hearts spot and back every other year. You probably noticed that Well, maybe you didn't notice that. But you'll notice, for example, that every other year you have a Jack of Hearts in Venus. Have you noticed that?
By looking at your chart, yeah, I have.
Yeah, well, you can take my word for it. And you can also take my word for it that every other year you have a Two of Hearts in Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can tell you that because the Two of Hearts is another semi-fixed card, and it goes back and forth. So it's basically found in one of two positions. And the Jack of Hearts is one of those cards that never moves at all. It's always in the same spot. So when you move back to your home position, you always have the Jack of Hearts in Venus. Now, what this does is it creates you to be a specific kind of person because every other year you have the Sacrifice card in Venus and the Lover's card in Saturn. Sounds kind of hard, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so Seven of Diamonds people, they're very strange in a way, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Because on one hand, they're very, like, family-oriented and traditional, you know.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, they're kind of crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And they do some of the weirdest...
I won't place you on that.
They do some weird stuff, you know. I mean,
Yeah. They're
known to do some really weird stuff because the seven, you see, sits right in the middle of the spread. Like, if you take all the cards in one suit and lay them out from the ace to the king... The seven is the card in the middle. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is you have one foot in the mundane world and one foot in the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, there are no limitations. You understand?
Yeah.
In the spiritual world, everything is like great and there's no limitations and magical things happen. But in the mundane world, there's problems, there's challenges. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So the Seven of Diamonds tries to bring that unlimited quality from the spiritual into the mundane. And sometimes they succeed, and sometimes they just show up looking kind of weird.
Very true.
Now, you're in Neptune right now. You know that. Do you know that?
I'm new to this. I just got the book, so I'm trying to follow. But, yeah, I'm looking at the chart, and
you, you just entered the last period of the year on the 15th,
yeah.
Which is 3 days ago. You're in Neptune, and this period is the period of dreams and fantasies. Okay, so people you meet now will show up being a lot greater than they really are.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So be careful, all right? Don't make any important decisions until after your birthday about important things, okay? You can have a lot of fun now, but don't give away the whole ship. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So any questions about your next year or anything?
If you want to tell me, sure.
Have you? Oh, you haven't even looked yet, so you don't even know.
I'm trying. I'm looking at it. I have it, and I'm reading through it, but it's a lot of... I feel like I'm not reading it right sometimes. I don't know. I was looking at some stuff, yeah.
Yeah, well...
I just go back and forth, looking at everybody's birthdays and stuff.
Well, that's where everybody starts. They just get really, you know, excited looking up everybody and seeing all the connections, and that's what most people do.
I have a good question for you, though. My husband, he was actually born in another country. He was born in Cambodia, okay? And he doesn't know his birthday because he was born during the war. So how does this, like, apply? How do you find out? All he knows, he was born on a Sunday, possibly in June or July in 78. And I'm, like, going crazy trying to find his, like, what his card would be.
Well, the system won't help you find his birthday because it doesn't. There's nothing we know that can help you find it. I mean, maybe if I got to know him a little bit, I could probably figure out what card he was, you know.
Well, I kind of feel what card he is, because I thought when I saw, like, the one birthday, I'm like, that fits you to a T. So, but then I'm like, well, what if it isn't, you know? But, you know, it's
well,
it's,
you know, you might be right because you're intuitive, but you're kind of new to the system, so
right.
There's a chance you would be wrong, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I don't want to pigeonhole him as that because I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing. So,
Yeah.
It just sounds, remember, all the people I marry, I marry the guy without a birthday.
I know. And then you bought my book. You're like, oh, my God, what's your birthday? I got to find out who I'm dealing with here.
How do I know?
Well, you know,
now it's going to be a mystery.
No, the only way is to find, is his mother still alive?
Yeah, but she's, the father says middle of July. She says the end of June, but they both say Sunday. So they're both definitely sure it's on a Sunday. And that's, and I noticed that the cards in June on Sundays are repeat again in July. So it's kind of, it's kind of like between five cards or four, five or four, because one month has 5 weeks.
Well, you know, in this, in American culture, women tend to remember the birthdays more. I guess in, I guess in other cultures, it's not that important. You know, I mean, most mothers in the U.S. know the birthdays of their children.
Right.
It was an
important event. I guess when you're in, like, the refugee camps and stuff, they don't really, like, know what's going on and stuff. So,
well, and they don't really, you know, they're probably more important things to think about, like survival.
Right.
Yeah. So, sorry I can't help you with that.
Oh, that's okay. You try.
So, do you have any children yet?
No, no kids. Just doggies.
Now, are you going to have children?
We're taught, you see something coming up?
No, actually, I don't see any coming in the near future. Just curious.
That's good. I don't know. I guess my only, I don't want to take up everybody's time. I'm sure there's somebody else who wants to talk. But the only question I ever had would be is, I don't know if you can see this, because I was trying to see this. I had a pretty bad past, 3 years, really emotionally bad. And I'm just wondering, is the next year going to get better?
Well, you did have some pretty intense cards this year.
Well, this year was this year was the breaking point. I'm finally healing and getting over everything. But around October of this past birthday cycle or whatever, it exploded. It was very bad. But
you
I'm
had
starting
an
to get better. But I'm just
range.
Wondering, am I through the worst?
Well, when you were 26, you had an ace of spades, long range. That year.
Yeah, that was a bad year.
So that was a hard year. Ace of Spades is a card of, death and transformation. So this year that's going to start in a few weeks here is going to be a really fun, nice year.
Are you just telling me that?
No. Because you have a Four of Clubs as your long-range card.
Okay.
And that is a card of satisfaction, peace.
Okay, good.
You know, so every year has some challenges, but overall, nothing's going to really bother you this year.
All right, that's good. As long as I can cope with it, that's good.
Yeah, I'm sorry you don't know your husband's birthday. That would be fun if we knew him. We could figure him out.
Yeah, we'll just have to keep guessing or go marry somebody whose birthday I do know.
That sounds like a Seven of Diamonds talking.
Yep.
Just being creative, you know. Well, I'll fix it. Look at somebody else. All right, Tara. Well, it's great having you come on the show. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you so much. It was really great.
You're
Thanks.
Very welcome. All right, take care. Okay, folks, we have three lines open here. If anybody wants to call in, the last chance, we're going to take one more commercial break. Actually, why don't we play a song off my CD? Seth, if you're listening, why don't you cue up the song Gayatri? And then if anybody's called in, by the time the song ends, we'll come back on and we'll have a caller. So it's your time. Call in now. So we'll listen to Gayatri and be right back. Yeah.
Swaha Tat Savitur Vani Bhargo Devasya Vimahe Deyo Yona Prachodaya.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Kemp, Mr. Destiny, coming to you live from beautiful sunny California where it never rains. And we do have a call. We have Leia on line two, and we have two lines open. So if you would like to call in after her and get a reading, please do so at your convenience. So is Leia still with us?
Yes, of course. How are you tonight, Robert?
I'm well. How are you, Leia?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
How's the world treating a Sagittarian lady?
Are you kidding me? It's awesome.
That's good to hear.
That's right. I have all the control. I know that.
Have you gotten out and ran around much lately?
Ran around. Well,
being a horse and all, you know?
Say it again?
Being a horse and all?
I try and do my part.
Horses like to have their freedom to run.
This is so true. I think you're right about that. Freedom would be the key word.
Yeah, freedom. That's big, you know. I have a couple of friends who are Sagittarians, and my one friend, she says whenever her husband gives her too hard a time, she goes, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's for his own good, as well as hers.
That sounds like her talking, actually.
Yes.
So what's on your mind this evening?
Well, of course, I have several questions, but I will narrow it down to, you know, one or two important ones, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you speaking with a caller earlier that is a Seven of Diamonds, I believe.
Yeah.
And that kind of piqued my interest because I am a Seven of Hearts.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty interesting that the seven is right in the center and how we have one foot in the mundane world and one foot in the spiritual world.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have that
so
too.
So I'm curious to know, how can I stay more in the spiritual world, I guess? I meditate, I do those kind of things, but as a Seven of Hearts, do you have any advice for me to stay more in the spiritual world where I have all of the control, or not control, but I have, well, I think control, but where I have more... you know, where more things are possible, I guess, and then and kind of allow that to help me in the mundane world.
Well, you know, both of your cards are spiritual numbers. You're a Seven of Hearts and a Nine of Clubs.
Yeah.
And so, really, you almost have to go to the spiritual in your life.
Awesome.
You can't just pursue life like the average person, like it's taught in the books. You have to take a spiritual approach to your life. Now, your biggest challenge, of course, would be the area of relationships.
Yeah.
Because you came into this lifetime with a pattern of wanting to control your partner.
Okay.
You know, you had a pattern that you set in a past life, you know, where you were very powerful. You were like, you could really just have everything your way. And you got really used to that. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And in the process of being that way, you did things to other people that weren't really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to experience in this lifetime being the one who is afraid. You understand?
Interesting.
Yeah. For to a certain extent, you have to experience being the one who would be abandoned, who would be disregarded, who would be betrayed by the other. Because this is what you subjected some people to before.
I see.
Now, of course, the answer is non-attachment. The answer is unconditional love as opposed to attached love.
Okay.
But that's a hard one to pull off, as you know. Especially when you get involved with somebody and you've opened up to them intimately. At that point, all of our fears come up. And when we're in fear, we always want to whatever, control or whatever. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And in the first few sentences of our conversation tonight, you used the word control twice.
That is so interesting.
And that comes from your Eight of Hearts first karma card.
Yes.
Our first karma card shows us what we were before that we more or less expressed the low side of it, and the low side of the eight would, of any eight, would be controlling other people.
Right.
So, you know, they say that typically seven of hearts people will always attract a really powerful partner with whom to do battle.
That's so interesting.
Let's see who's
have
more
powerful. I do have a strong a husband who's got a strong personality. Not he's loving, he's, you know, but he is the one in control, I would say, most
and
of
what,
the time.
What birthday is your husband?
Well, he is a three of diamonds. He is July 12th, 1968.
Okay, so he's a three of diamonds, and he's also a five of clubs.
Yes.
Because he's a Cancer.
Correct.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, you have a lot of connections with him. I mean, his first karma card is a six of hearts, though, which would make him moon to you. So
yes,
you actually do have more power in the relationship overall.
Who knew?
I won't tell him, though, if you won't.
No, we'll keep between ourselves.
That can be our little secret.
Yes. Wow, okay.
You know, but
so
I mean, you're also, you have a strong Neptune connection with him, so he just, on some level, he just adores you.
That's nice to hear. Thank you. Yes,
yeah.
I appreciate
yeah.
that. I think
yeah.
it's true. I think I think I see that.
So, you know, the whole key to being a seven and a nine is to let go of attachment and give when you feel like taking.
Okay.
Like when we're afraid, especially, that's the time, you know. When we get afraid, we feel threatened somehow, upset, it's when our negative side will come out, naturally.
This is
and
true.
And then that's the time when we need to practice the most, you know, letting go of those attachments, letting go of and needing to have it be a certain way, letting go of control, basically.
Wow. Yeah, that takes, you have to be brave sometimes to do that.
Oh, that takes tremendous courage.
I
can't even, I don't even know if I have that much courage. Excuse me.
So the fact that I have two spiritual numbers, may I be intuitive in some ways, or might I?
Yeah, you're very intuitive.
Okay.
But it never works in your own personal life. It's only there for other people's benefit.
Okay. To help others.
Now, one thing I'll just mention to you is that this year you turned 39 on your birthday, right?
Yes, I'm 39 now.
39 begins the Jupiter cycle of life in the cards.
Oh, okay.
So this is the cycle. You just began the cycle when you're meant to accumulate and generate the most wealth.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, generally people have sort of a change around that age when they really, really tap into, like, what their life's about. And your life would be about teaching and giving out information.
Well, I noticed in my yearly spread I have two kings of clubs, and I thought I heard you mention on a few shows back, perhaps, that the king of clubs would be a teacher's card or something to that
that's
effect.
That's correct. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Yeah.
Now,
so you're
what
being
I
called
did notice,
to,
mm-hmm.
you're being called to be a leader in some field of knowledge.
Okay. Well, I mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Now, I have a question. I think that I'm in the Saturn period right now, or I'm coming into it on the 23rd, which is maybe 5 days from now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
And I see my planetary ruler as an underlying card, and then the Queen of Clubs. Isn't that a very intuitive card, the Queen of Clubs? And does that Nine of Clubs
mm-hmm.
indicate me personally? Would that be how I read that, or?
Yeah, you know, the cards that you have in a period can be read many different ways.
Right.
And really, generally speaking, all those ways will happen at the same time during that period. So that's one thing that could definitely happen.
Okay.
You know, and I think there will be a focus on your female side. There'll be a focus on your personal life in this period.
Okay. Okay, I like that.
And how long have you been married?
I have been married, I believe, 13 years now.
Oh, well, good. That's good.
Okay. Surprised, are you?
No, you're actually pretty marriageable. Your husband's birthday.
Yeah, believe it or not, huh?
your husband's unmarriageable.
My husband is marriageable, you said?
Unmarriageable.
Unmarriageable. Wow. Well, then he must adore me.
Well, his birthday, yeah, would be somebody who would tend to not be able to make commitments, you know.
Like that five of clubs, correct?
And the three of diamonds, both of them together.
And the three of diamonds, wow.
Yeah, they're both at
the
top of
the list. Well, maybe it's that Cancer influence.
Well, I would be willing to bet that it's his fear of losing that keeps him there, you know what I mean?
Wow, his fear of losing.
Well, because, see, Cancers, I'm a Cancer, too. We're really security conscious.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fear sign, Cancer.
You know? Okay.
So, you know, whereas you might say a regular five of clubs, normal five of clubs would be very freedom-oriented, being a Cancer, you want to make sure somebody's there so you can feel safe.
Right. And, you know, he did a lot of traveling before I met him.
Well, maybe he got a lot of it out of his system.
I hope so. And now he and I will travel together, I'm hoping.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be nice.
Just look for fives.
Oh, you know what I found out that I thought was pretty interesting? In light of, what is her name? The blonde bombshell that unfortunately met her demise. I forgot her name. Anna Nicole Smith?
Yes,
I found out that her card, her birth card, is a five of hearts.
Yeah, she's 2 days after your birthday.
Right, I think, yeah, she was November 20-something.
She's a five
and
of hearts,
I just thought
seven
that
of clubs.
That... Say that again?
She was a five of hearts, seven of clubs.
Ah, I see.
Now, her
I thought that was pretty...
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Well, she was very freedom-oriented. You know, Sagittarian women, as a rule, they're marriageable, a lot of them, but a lot of them are really just kind of like, you know, go with the wind. Wherever the wind blows, they go.
Right.
And they're very sexual and very spontaneous, and, you know, they fit right into the
all
scene.
Good things.
With, I'm sorry?
All good things in a woman, I think.
Not
bad, right? There's worse qualities to have, I guess.
Well, you know, every man likes certain things, every woman likes certain things, and there's men that love that kind of woman, and there's men that would rather have somebody else, you know.
Exactly.
And vice versa. So it's all good for somebody.
Right. And could I ask you this? What should be my focus for this year? Would it be like the teaching or...
You should think about... Here's a question I would ask myself if I were you this year. Ask yourself this question. What is it that you want to tell the world? You know, if you could broadcast a message to the whole planet, like over a radio station or something, what would be your message?
Okay.
Because
all right,
that's
I think I have it, actually.
Do.
Okay.
Just think
that's
about that.
That's a good question. Okay,
yeah.
I will give that some thought.
Yeah,
and
maybe that'll help you to get clear. You have really good cards. It's a good year, you know.
I think so.
Yeah, it's
I didn't see anything in there that I didn't find favorable. Even the nine of diamonds, that's just an ending of old values, right? And endings are new beginnings, right?
Nine of diamonds can also, as an environment card, especially, it can give you your wishes come true.
Wow, that's
it's a wish
beautiful.
Fulfilling card. It's a wish fulfilling card.
That's awesome.
So
yeah.
I heard that your daughter wants to talk to me. Is that true?
She does. I better put her on.
Yeah,
Maya,
have her come on the phone.
I'm here. Okay. She is a six of spades.
What's her birthday?
Her birthday is January 8th, 1999. She's She's eight okay. years old, but she can really carry on a conversation, so she'll understand.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Okay. Okay, come on, Maya.
Maya.
Yes.
Okay.
And she would really appreciate speaking with you for a moment, so thank you.
Okay.
Hold one moment.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to her.
Hello.
Hi, Maya.
Hi.
This is Robert Camp. How are you tonight?
I'm great.
You know, you're the first person I've ever talked to on this show who was 8 years old.
That's great.
Do you know whose birthday you have?
No.
Do you know who else has your birthday, who's famous?
No.
Well, Elvis Presley had your birthday.
What?
Elvis Presley. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Elvis?
Mm-hmm.
He was like one of the world's most famous singers that ever lived. And you know who else has your birthday who's still alive today is David Bowie.
Who's that?
David Bowie is a really famous rock star. Ask your mother to tell you about him after you talk to me.
Okay. That makes me feel special.
Well, you are special. You have a nice name, too. Maya's a really nice name.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful name. So do you have any questions that I can answer for you tonight?
I would like to know what a Six of Spades is about.
Well, a Six of Spades is about having a special purpose in your life. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes.
Like having a special destiny. You came here to do something really big. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Well, you may not know exactly what it is yet, or maybe you do know. But
I want to be a scientist when I grow up.
You want to be a scientist? Very good.
Yes.
Well, I have no doubt you could do anything you want to do. So just be
Thank
open
you.
To whatever comes your way. That's wonderful. Just dream. And everybody should have their dreams come true, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the only thing we have to do is find out what our dream is. And God tells us what our dream is if we listen.
Sometimes I meditate with my mom.
Oh, you do? Wow. And what do you see when you meditate? Do you see anything?
Well, I just think about what I want to do when I get older and stuff. Like
uh-huh. And have you, so you think about being a scientist or what? Getting married or what?
Pretty much everything.
What's your biggest dream?
Being a scientist.
Being a scientist? And what do you want to do as a scientist? Do you want to invent something?
I want to invent something and discover a new dinosaur.
Uh-huh. Okay. Nice. So I guess you like dinosaurs. Is that true?
Yeah.
Nice.
My favorite's the Velociraptor.
Your favorite's the Velociraptor?
Yes.
That was a mean dinosaur.
I know.
He was pretty vicious.
Yeah, I saw that.
You watched the movie, right?
I saw it on Jurassic Park.
Right, Jurassic Park, yeah. Pretty interesting, yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's very nice to meet you, Maya.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to ask?
Too. What?
Anything else you want to say or anything else you want to ask me?
No, not really.
All right. Well, thank you for talking. And
You're
feel
welcome.
Free to call in. Feel free to call in again next week if you want to. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, Maya, good night. Have a nice night.
You too.
And say goodbye to your mother for me.
Okay, and I'm so happy because there's only two more days of school.
Good for you. School's already out up here where I live, so your vacation is coming soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I bet you are. All right, Maya, take care of yourself.
Okay, you too.
Right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was really fun, our first 8-year-old caller. And she was just wonderful. It's great to talk to kids because, you know, they haven't lost their connection with their dreams yet. And sometimes they know exactly what they're going to be when they grow up. They know what their destiny is. They have a sense of it. I love that. I love connecting with them and finding out what they know about their life. Because their minds are so open, they receive things much more than an adult who's been sort of conditioned and jaded and shut down from what's going on. Not everybody, of course, but a lot of us. Well, our show is winding down to a close, everybody. We're going to just end with a song. We'll be back next Monday. Hope you guys can make it. We're going to have an exciting show. Feel free to call in next week. And we're going to end the show tonight with a song called Om Namah Shivaya. I hope you enjoy it.
Namah Shivaya.